everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Happy New Year. I hope you had a great New Year's and a wonderful holiday season. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, January 2nd, 2013, as the Buckmaster Show gets ready to celebrate our two-year anniversary is tomorrow of the Buckmaster Show, so break out the bubbly. Maybe you've got some champagne left, Rose, from New Year's Eve that we could, probably all gone. Hope you're having a good day, and if you're lucky enough to still be enjoying the holidays, things are going to be warming up just a little bit. Coming up during this hour, we launch this edition with the latest on the Fiscal Cliff deal with Terry Bracey, our man in Washington, D.C. Then we'll talk with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman with the Moneymaker Report. And Shelley's smile index is off the charts today. He's got a huge smile on his face, which is reflective of the Dow Jones average, which is having a very good day. 30 minutes or so past the hour, we'll talk with former TUSD school board president Alex Rodriguez will join us. Then we'll close out the show talking Wildcat sports with Anthony Jimeno of TucsonCitizen.com. Wildcat football had a pretty good season, and of course, how about that basketball team? We encourage you to join in the conversation, 790-2040 for the Buckmaster Show live line. Well, the nation's lawmakers finally got it together and approved a deal to keep us from going over the fiscal cliff. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is Terry Bracey. Terry is the Buckmaster Show contributor on governmental affairs, and he continues to enjoy what by now is a 40-year career in Washington, where he has been privileged to serve under three presidents of both parties in assignments ranging from Assistant Secretary of Transportation to the founding chair of the Tucson-based Udall Foundation. His firm, Bracey Tucker Brown Valenzano, has represented the city of Tucson for 30 years in the nation's capital. Terry, Happy New Year to you.
And to you and all my friends in Tucson, Bill, and congratulations to you on 2 years of a very successful show.
Thank you very much. And the buzz in Washington probably isn't so much about, hey, we didn't go over the fiscal cliff. It's about those Washington Redskins.
The biggest name in Washington is not Barack Obama. It's RG3, Robert Griffin, our new quarterback, who has taken a 3-6 football team and turned them into a playoff contender. So we're all dreaming about the Super Bowl.
Everybody's thinking, well, maybe the Skins can go to the Super Bowl. But whatever they do, they are really to be congratulated. They've had a great season. And congratulations to you, Terry Bracey, on this program. Repeatedly, you had assured the Buckmaster Show listeners there would be a deal. There was a deal. What does it mean for our listeners, Terry?
Well, I was lucky to make that prediction. I began to question it myself as we got into the wee hours. But it's really good news. I note in a lot of the commentary afterwards, there's a fair amount of cynicism, and people are wishing what might have been done instead of congratulating what was done. But it was really a step ahead in terms of compromise. This Congress finally showed that it could compromise, and it came together on a crucially important first step as we face up to our debt crisis. What does it mean? If you make less than $250,000 a year, it probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you, except for one thing. You've had a tax holiday on the money that you put into Social Security and Medicare, called the payroll tax. Now, that payroll tax is coming back for everybody because they just couldn't justify continuing to have that holiday. You know, these funds for Medicare and Social Security are in enough trouble. So we're all going to be back to paying for that. That's a 6% tax for Social Security on your gross income, and it's about, ask Shelley, I think it's 1.5% for Medicare. So everybody's going to get hit with that. But beyond that, Bill, If you make less than $250,000 a year, it isn't going to impact you all that much.
Is it 450 or?
Well, I say 250, and I'll tell you why. There's a trick in this.
Yeah, because Shelley's here in the studio with me, and he's saying was 450.
Well, yeah, it was actually for individuals 400,000.
Okay,
and the rates go up.
Okay,
for those people, but if you go back and look at the detail in this, at 250,000, you start to lose your personal exemptions.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you get to 300,000, you are severely cut back on any exemptions that you can take. So in effect, those people are going to get a tax increase through the back door.
Hey, Terry, let me ask you about the military situation. A lot of people very nervous out here in Tucson, as you can imagine, because of cuts in the military. And if we had gone over the fiscal cliff, they were very worried at Raytheon what the impact is. Can you give us kind of a bottom line on that?
Well, it's hard to know. We're going to go back in 60 days. There are going to be a series of cuts made again. We're going to face another deadline, this one being the debt increase. And I suspect we're going to have quite a wrestling match coming into that. The Pentagon has been fighting these cuts right and left, but this much we know. We know that the Army is going to be cut by 80,000. We know the Marine Corps is going to be cut by 20,000. We know that many of the weapon systems, which were designed for the Cold War, the tanks, all the old guns and so on, are not going to be contracted for anymore, and we're going to have a military that turns more towards the use of unmanned aircraft, drones, and cybersecurity are going to be the emphasis of the future, and we're turning more to the Far East now and away from the Middle East and Europe. So all of those things are going to generate very big differences in what we do. How they impact Tucson kind of remains to be seen. I suspect not as much as other places, because Tucson, basically, we have the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base facility, and I suspect that that is going to be a prized facility for a long time. Raytheon makes very modern weapon systems, as far as I know. I know they just got another huge missile contract. So we're hopeful that Raytheon will escape much of this as well.
Terry Bracey is with us, the Buckmaster Show, Washington contributor. And Terry, I want to turn to something that you alluded to at the beginning of your remarks about this. The Senate really put together some real bipartisanship. The president's plan won 89 votes in the upper chamber, and a lot of people said bipartisanship. They just didn't think something like that could ever come together. So I think that really is an encouraging sign as we go forward.
Yes, Bill, and in part it shows you, once again, we're reminded of the role of personality in politics. They were getting nowhere, and there was a lot of clashing going on up on Capitol Hill this week, and all of a sudden the vice president entered the picture. And he and Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, have a very, very good relationship built over 25 years of serving together in the Senate. And so when you had two people who trust each other, who knew that there wasn't going to be backdooring and it wasn't going to be leaked and so on, it's amazing. In 2 days' time, we got a deal in the Senate, 89 votes. It was really quite a demonstration of bipartisanship and a very hopeful sign.
And, of course, it does point to relationships, how much they matter there in the Capitol, and perhaps just anywhere where we do business or a personal level, the relationship is so important, isn't it?
Well, in this town, you know, it's known for having some big egos. I recall just in the last week, the president made a statement, and I'm greatly admiring of the president, but he made a statement, you know, that sort of, you know, put it in the face of the Republicans, and that there was a tremendous reaction that held things up maybe for a day. But at the end of the day, I think the president knew that he had the cards. He knew that he had an election behind him where people in the country had given him, a mandate to go ahead and get these taxes raised from the wealthy, and he intended to do it.
So as we go forward, Terry, there are, of course, the extending the battle over the debt limit. Perhaps some of this bipartisanship can carry over. I'd like to be optimistic about it. I don't know. Should we be optimistic?
Well, I think the hand of the Democrats is going to be strengthened in the next Congress. We'll have a more Democratic Senate, a more Democratic House, although the Republicans will still control the House. And I think that that probably puts more weight on the side of getting further deals done. Plus, you know, everything in politics really depends on momentum. And this deal, which nobody really thought in the last few days was going to get done, it establishes real momentum for progress. And I don't know. I'm an optimist, and I do think that. We're going to go through a tough period where some cuts are made. They won't be as many or as big as some would want, but I think we're going to have a pretty fundamental change in the way we govern.
Okay, Terry Bracey, always a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll look forward to our conversations in 2013. Terry, have a great day.
Thanks, Bill. Bye.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, What does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Here he is, the man himself, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, Happy New Year.
And to you, Bill.
And it is a Happy New Year on Wall Street. And as we heard in our interview with Terry Bracey, Terry made that prediction that we weren't going to go over the fiscal cliff, but you know, it was very touch and go.
Well, we actually did go over the
cliff. Well, technically we
technically
did, didn't we?
For about 20 hours.
Yeah, we were over the fiscal cliff, but you could say we didn't go over for the first day of business.
There you go.
So there you go. But your prediction, speaking of accuracy, for the year you had predicted that the Dow Jones Industrial Average would be up, as I recall, 6.5%.
About 6.5%, and we wound up 7.25%.
That's pretty darn close, Shelley.
Yeah, I had Monday not happened. You know, we joked about 2011 being all that volatility. 2012 had a bunch of volatility, but not nearly as much. And it wound up, you know, the Dow was only up about 7 points, but the NASDAQ wound up almost 16 percentage points. And the S&P 500, which, of course, is the broader indicator, was up 13.5 points. So if you think of the average increase in the S&P over, say, a 50 or 60-year period as being somewhere in the 10 to 12 percentage range, we had an above-average year.
Isn't that 3 straight years for you that you've been within 1 percentage point of your prediction?
Yeah, it's at least 3. But keep in mind, I'm predicting the Dow, not the S&P.
Yes.
So you can do the math on the fundamentals a little bit more easily. I believe going forward in 2013, we're going to have a very, very good year.
Are you ready with your prediction for 2013?
Yeah, somewhere between 14 and 16%.
Are you kidding?
No. I really do believe the fundamentals are there. Bill, you've got the economy right now kind of just with so much pent-up demand for durable goods, for manufactured goods. I mean, cars are getting old. Washing machines are getting old. You've got $1.5 trillion to $2 trillion of corporate cash still sitting on the sidelines.
Parked on those sidelines.
Right.
Been there for a long time.
You've got employment. The employment picture is improving, so people are going to start spending money again. Remember, 70% of our economy is consumer-driven. I believe we're going to have a really good year unless... And here's my caveat.
Okay.
Unless Congress screws it up.
We've got
these three cliffs coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And these aren't, you know, curbs or slopes.
These really are cliffs. Yeah.
And the president, you know, threw the gauntlet down last night saying, we are not going to negotiate over the debt ceiling. That has to be done. We can negotiate over the budgets, and we've got a whole bunch of budget stuff to negotiate over, and we can certainly negotiate over some of the cuts in, you know, the sequestered expenses. But the money we've already spent and committed, he doesn't want to negotiate about. He said, we've already spent that. You guys passed the laws that, you know, created that spending. We've got to pay the bills. So now, listening to the talking heads this morning, they've mostly ignored the president on that one and are saying, you know, we, the Republicans, took a little bit of a beating over the last couple of days. We're going to get our way on the fiscal on the upcoming.
So that could really put a wrench into the market.
Well, it could. I mean, the last time they did this, the markets dropped 400 points, and we lost a rating on our national debt. There are ways of having a national discussion, and we have to have that discussion. Bill, look, we need to determine how much government we're willing to pay for and how much government we want. It is very easy to say we have a spending problem or we have a taxation problem. We have a combination of both of those things because, you know, we keep on saying we don't want the government that we have, it's too big. And yet when you go to people and say, what are we going to cut? Nobody's willing to say, oh, yeah, cut that. It's, you know, do we need to cut Social Security benefits? No. Do we need to find a way to make Social Security solvent? Yes. Social Security is not an immediate problem. Medicare is. Are we going to cut benefits for people already on Medicare? Probably not. Therefore, who's going to take the cut? You know, we talk about not mortgaging our kids' futures, but we're willing to mortgage their health care benefits. So, you know, there's a lot of decisions that need to be worked through. And as we work them through, I think we'll come to hopefully a middle of the road decision on how to get to, you know, somewhere between 19 and 21% of GDP as, you know, what our government spends. Then we have to tax enough to get to that number. We just do. Otherwise, we're kidding ourselves.
Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman is with us. He is with us usually every Tuesday with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Because of the holiday, he is here on Wednesday, but he will be back with us next Tuesday. For you and your investors that you shepherd with their finances, you've changed the mix a little bit for 2013.
Yeah, I'm calling this the renormalization of markets. Which means to me that we're going to see a normal spread between fixed income and equities. And that says that you then want to bias your portfolios a little more heavily toward equities than I have been doing over the past 3 or 4 years. So you take a somewhat less defensive posture. To give you an idea, today the markets are up markedly. But bonds and treasuries are down. And so you're going to begin to see that seesaw effect, which has, you know, it's what we learn in school happens, but hasn't necessarily happened over the past couple of years, actually almost a decade.
This psychological, and I think a lot of this is psychological today, the bounce that we're seeing.
It's a little bit of irrational exuberance.
Yeah, a little bit of party time, you know, a little carryover from New Year's. But things will probably start to level out a little bit this week, you think?
I think that the gains we're going to see today are going to hold.
Uh-huh.
And then the markets are going to begin to put their ear to the ground and listen to what they hear, especially on the debt ceiling, but also on whether, as Terry was saying earlier, whether somehow this, I don't want to call it goodwill, but a willingness to work together that we saw in both the Senate and the House over the past 36 hours can continue. If these guys can talk to each other and understand that nobody's going to have their way entirely, then I believe we're just going to have a phenomenal year.
Shelley Fishman with us. Shelley is a certified financial planner, and that is important, I think, for folks that are looking for someone to manage their money. It's kind of a starting point. If somebody sees that after your name, certified financial planner,
yeah,
CFP.
What it means is that the person with those initials, you know, after their name has done a certain amount of study that is in excess of what most advisors have, but most importantly, it says that they have an obligation to take a fiduciary responsibility for that client rather than just an appropriateness standard.
Shelley Fishman, have a great rest of the week.
You too, Bill.
And where can people find you?
On your website. I linger there.
Yes. Shelley's at buckmastershow.com. We've got a link to Shell, so if you want to find out more, and I hope you do, please go to buckmastershow.com. Shelley, have a great week.
Happy New Year, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. House Speaker John Boehner is the focus of bipartisan ire today after he pulled legislation on Hurricane Sandy relief from the floor. Republicans and Democrats from New York and New Jersey demanded he reverse course and allow a vote. School officials in Connecticut say it's time for the staff and students of Sandy Hook Elementary to get back to teaching and learning. For the first time since last month's massacre, the children who survived returned to the classroom today at a school nearby. Many relatives of the victims of last summer's Colorado movie theater shooting are rejecting an invitation to attend the theater's reopening. In a letter to the theater's owner, family members of the 12 people killed called the offer disgusting. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett says the NCAA acted illegally when it punished Penn State following the conviction of former assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky. This is SRN News.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, 12:35, and this portion of the program brought to you by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Alex Rodriguez. Mr. Rodriguez, the former TUSD school board president, he is now the director of the Arizona Technology Council, their Southern Arizona office. Alex, good to see you.
Bill, it's fantastic to be on your show, and may I say, congratulations on 2 years on radio now.
Yeah, the two-year anniversary for the show is tomorrow, and thank you very much for acknowledging that, Alex.
How quickly it goes. I recall seeing you on TV every night.
Yeah, for 23 years. 23 years, yeah. But now with the radio, it's already 2 years. Alex, I know you're very concerned. Anyone who's been associated, first of all, anyone who's a parent or is fond of education had to be very upset about what happened in Connecticut. And I know you sent me an email right after the tragedy that you were worried about emergency responders getting to a school if there's some kind of an incident here in Tucson and the role that the parents would play if they needed to get to the school as well.
Yes, exactly. You know, it was a horrific tragedy that happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown. And, you know, the thing that kept going through my mind as I saw events unfold and the issue was front and center in the media is that we here in our own community need to take stock of where we're at in terms of emergency preparedness and emergency planning in the event of a major catastrophe, a shooting, major problem that's natural caused. So as a parent, I'm constantly thinking of the safety of my own child and all the students in not only in TUSD, but all the schools. So it's an issue that's very important, and I think it's critical for us to keep the conversation going on school safety and how to enhance school safety.
Are the parents included now in the discussion?
Well, they are, although I think to a limited extent. It's clear that, to me, that what needs to happen is more communication with the parents and have the parents involved as a key conduit for emergency preparedness. There's no question in my mind that the district is working hard on this issue, trying to come up with the right protocols. At the site level, each of the schools have their own plans and they conduct the traditional fire drills and so forth. But when it comes to parents actively involved in this, here's my worry, Bill. In the event of something happening at that level of Sandy Hook Elementary School or the other shootings that have happened nationally over the last several years, what most people do is they tend to panic in an emergency. And without preparation, that panic can clearly cause additional problems. So we would end up working at cross purposes, say, for example, with the first responders, police, fire, you know, even SWAT teams if they were needed on site, and so forth. So I do think communication needs to be ramped up, and parents need to be included in this. They're clearly the first on site.
When you were at on the TUSD board, security was always, well, it's always a big issue. It has been for many, many years at TUSD. But actually, the elementary schools have not had the, you know, the big fences necessarily and the barbed wire that we see around some of the high schools. Do you think that's coming?
Well, it's unfortunate that we live in a time now where it's not the traditional, typical fire drills any longer. Now it's large-scale catastrophe planning. And so at the school site level, every single elementary school needs to be protected as much as possible. We have learned in the last few years is that mental health continues to be a very significant problem in the country. And the issue of school gun safety is prevalent as well. So you match those two, and what you get is a series of shootings on school campuses.
I was surprised to read in an editorial in the Wall Street Journal that already, that if you take all the public schools, the elementary, middle school, and high schools across the country, already 1 in 3 have some kind of armed security guard already in place.
They do, and yeah. There's calls for more to see that happen. I don't know how I feel necessarily about having armed personnel on each school site. I think the professional educators are there for the children first to educate them. And to some, there's clearly an unnerving sense when there's guns involved in that process. Unfortunately, it has come time to, the time has come to look at all options for how to best protect our children. We're going to hear a lot more about that issue for sure.
Oh, yeah. And I want to switch gears here because we do have you with us, and I want to talk a little bit about this Arizona Technology Council. You're now the director of the Southern Arizona office. What is this council? Is it about trying to keep jobs in Arizona and create new ones in high tech?
Absolutely, Bill. The Arizona Technology Council is a statewide trade association. We're the preeminent trade association in the technology space across multiple sectors. So what we do is we help our members grow, connect and grow through a variety of offerings, through public policy advocacy, to membership development, to companies learning new and better ways to take their technology to the global markets.
And how are you creating these new, or how does this council work?
Well, it is membership based. There's over 650 individual companies involved, and we mirror the state economy. So while we have the largest companies involved in the council, a lot of them tend to be smaller to mid-sized businesses, as you see around our economy in Southern Arizona. So the importance is that we are helping companies here in our own community foster better technical innovation so that they can in turn create more jobs and create a better quality of life for Arizona.
Where can people find out more about the Arizona Technology Council?
We are online at aztechcouncil.org. Again, it's aztechcouncil.org.
Again, ping-ponging back to education, the closing of schools, it's very painful. While you were the president of the TUSD board, you initiated the process, but that never really came to fruition as far as closing schools.
That's correct. It was a very difficult time. We knew we had to take action simply because of the demographics in the city and the loss of students by the Tucson Unified School District. So we initiated it then, and unfortunately, we have schools that we can't afford because of the number of students at each school site. So something had to happen in light of budget deficits and a chronic problem with Arizona funding for public schools. So it's a painful situation. I know that recently a lot of good schools, high quality schools, were on the school closure list for this governing board. But it's something that's here. And what we need to do now is focus on student achievement in all the school districts.
The enrollment continues to drop at TUSD, doesn't it?
It has, and there's a number of factors that impact that, including the charter schools, the emergence of a number of charter schools around our community, as well as just literally neighborhoods in the eastern part of Tucson, different neighborhoods, old neighborhoods that have been there for over 50 years. The demographics change. Now it's grandparents living in the neighborhoods where the schools are located at. So we have to continue to stay up with the times as far as the demographic shifts.
Thank you very much, Alex Rodriguez, former TUSD School Board President. He is now the Director of the Southern Arizona Office of the Arizona Technology Council, and he is also a former candidate for United States Congress. I didn't want to forget about that. No.
We'll leave it at that, Bill.
Well, we thank you for that, for at least putting your hat in the ring and for your effort, because that did take a lot of time and effort, didn't it?
Bill, thank you, and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. Alex Rodriguez with us on the Buckmaster Show. Anthony Jimeno is coming up next. We're going to talk about Wildcat football and basketball as we continue with the Buckmaster Show.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the Modern Streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS. Life on Earth begins with water. The plants that sustain us and biodiversity that surrounds us. At UA Biosphere 2, water is big science. From our tropical rainforest and million-gallon ocean to the mountain slopes of Leo,
our new Landscape Evolution Observatory. By recreating the natural world on such an immense scale, LEO aims to reveal better ways to understand and manage global water resources. Come see how Biosphere 2 is being used to model climate science, test smart technology, and develop new environmental strategies that can help build a stronger 21st century community. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, where innovation lives, just north of Tucson, America's science city. Explore today. More information at b2science.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:49 on this midweek edition, which kind of feels like a Monday, but that's because of the holiday. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Be a great weekend getaway for you to go over to Silver City, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. And coming up the weekend of January 18, 19, and 20, the Red Paint Powwow. That event is coming up in Silver City. Lots of places to stay. Fine establishments, including Agave Ridge Retreat, Axel Canyon Preserve, Bear Creek Cabins, just to name a few. To find out more, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Time to talk a little Wildcat football and basketball with Anthony Jamino. Anthony is the Buckmaster Show contributor on Wildcat Sports. He knows Wildcat Sports intimately, covering University of Arizona athletics for the past 2 decades, including the football beat for the Arizona Daily Star, and most recently being a sports columnist at TucsonCitizen.com. He is also the college football editor at CBSSportsLine.com, and he maintains a national presence as the senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals. Anthony, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, and what do you think of the bowl season, the Pac-10? The two Arizona schools did their part, Stanford yesterday in the Rose Bowl, but other than that, not so good.
Yeah, there's been some good and bad. We've got one more game left. We have Oregon playing Kansas State in the Fiesta Bowl Thursday night. And if Oregon wins that, the Pac-12 will finish 4-4 in their bowl games, which I guess is okay. You know, a lot of people, I think it's probably overblown, but we all do kind of form some opinions on how good conferences are based on how they do in bowl games, even though, you know, some of the matchups may not be quite even, so it's a little hard to compare. But 4-4 with the Pac-12 winning its two biggest games, which would be Oregon tomorrow night and then Stanford in the Rose Bowl, that would be a decent showing for the league.
And how about that Arizona Wildcat football team putting up the last 90 seconds of that bowl game? Really, really will go down in annals of the Wildcat sports as really something special against the University of Nevada.
Yeah, it worked out really well for Arizona. I know the athletic department was a little disappointed that one of the other bigger bowls didn't select Arizona, whether that would have been the Las Vegas Bowl or the Sun Bowl. So they ended up falling all the way to the New Mexico Bowl, which is the last in line of the Pac-12 bowl affiliation. But the way it worked out with Arizona scoring, coming back from a 13-point deficit in the final 2 minutes, getting the onside kick, kicking off the bowl season. Remember, that was the first game, and everybody was kind of paying attention to that because at that point we were a little hungry for college football. It got so much attention, and just the good feeling from that will last throughout the off season, especially with it's so much easier to convince people of the really good job Rich Rodriguez did in his first year because they have 8 wins. You can make the case that even with 7 wins, what Rodriguez did with the talent on hand was pretty remarkable. But it would be a harder sell for people because Arizona would have lost their last two games, including that one to Arizona State. So everybody would be feeling a little down, maybe a little bitter. But the bowl game, I think, changed all that. And the fan excitement will probably maintain throughout what is now a really long off season until they kick off again.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably be ranked in the top 25, and with a Heisman Trophy candidate, there would be some buzz, won't there?
That I'm not sure about the top 25 part, because they're going to have a new quarterback.
Oh, but, yeah.
Kadeem Carey, yeah, that this will be a little bit unlike Arizona has ever had. Now, I remember after the 1998 season, Arizona had a running back named Tron Candidate, who, of course, whose last name was perfect in terms of all kinds of wordplay for Heisman Candidate. He ended up having a really good year. He had the single season rushing record in 1999 until Kadeem broke it this year. But the team success in 1999 for Trung to be a real legit Heisman candidate. It never got started. Well, with Kadeem, hopefully the team and him can get off to a fast start, and that Heisman buzz will just keep building. It's certainly a long shot, because to win the Heisman as a running back is pretty rare these days. It almost always goes to a very, very good quarterback on a top 10 team. I mean, there's a few exceptions, but that's really been the rule for the past 12, 13, 15 years. So there are some obstacles, but just to be in that discussion, Arizona's going to promote him, and that's going to be a fun sidebar to follow through the year.
Well, when I was projecting Arizona in the top 25, maybe it was my other Wildcat team that I follow, the Northwestern Wildcats, who won the Gator Bowl yesterday, the first victory for the Northwestern Wildcats since the 1949 Rose Bowl win over California. And ironically, Northwestern will open the season against Cal next year. Now, what are the odds of that happening?
That's going to be, I think this was kind of the year of the, maybe it was the year of the smart kids. Northwestern wins, Stanford wins the Rose Bowl, Vanderbilt has his best season in probably as long as Northwestern, Duke gets to a bowl game for the first time in a long time. So I'm gonna dub this the year of the smart kid in college football.
Revenge of the intellectuals. And now, basketball, it has been, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony, 25 years since Arizona U of A basketball has started a season at 12-0. Isn't that something like that?
That is true. A quarter of a century, which just makes, at least it makes me feel a lot older, thinking it's been that long since Sean Elliott and Steve Kerr were doing that thing in 87, 88.
This season, kicking off against Colorado, are the Cats have to worry about? Well, I guess UCLA is one team they're going to have to worry about, right?
UCLA, they were a little bit of a mess through the non-conference season. Players leaving, newcomers just trying to fit into roles, and the team trying to fit together. But they're so talented that they can't be dismissed, and last week they beat a top 10 Missouri team at home. So UCLA has, with all their talent, they have the potential to win the league. I thought going into this thing that Arizona and UCLA were 1-2 and really close, and if UCLA continues to put it all together, those two meetings this year between those two teams could very well be epic. And after them, there's a handful of very good teams. Colorado is definitely one of those, and we'll see them in McHale on Thursday night.
Anthony Jimeno from TucsonCitizen.com. He's the Buckmaster Show contributor on Wildcat Sports. Quickly, to wrap up the basketball scene, are the Cats overachieving, or is this pretty much what you would have expected?
Well, there was really only two games that they were challenged in the non-conference season, and they won them both in the final seconds. So the fact that they know they can win tough games, make plays in big, crucial moments, that's huge going forward. At number three, are they a little bit overranked? Probably.
You know, I think they're definitely a top 10 team. They have as good a chance as of any, I think, of getting to the Final Four. So their ceiling is very, very high. The rankings probably really don't matter much at this point.
Yeah.
But given their so-so strength of schedule, three may be a little high. But it sure could be a very, very fun next 3 months.
It sure will be. Anthony Jimeno, thank you very much. And again, Happy New Year to you, Anthony.
Thanks. You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We love Culligan. You know why, folks? It simply tastes better. This afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show. 3 to 5, John Show has gone from an hour to 2, so he will be with you this afternoon as the local talk continues on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And, of course, tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. I am Bill Buckmaster. And, again, wishing all of you a happy new year. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 12:04 for our two-year anniversary edition.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.